Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Derek Sylvester. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
James, the book of James. I love this book. I've been attempting to memorize this book for many years. It's still not memorized, but maybe since I was like 16, I decided I'm going to memorize the book of the Bible. It's going to be a short one. I picked a James. I'm like six verses into the first chapter, and I'm 30 now, so I'm crushing it. I won't need to read this thing before too long. Okay, James chapter 1, verse 19. My dearest brothers and sisters, take this to heart. Be quick to listen, but slow to speak, and be slow to become angry. For human anger is never a legitimate tool to promote God's righteous purpose. So this is why we abandon everything morally impure and all forms of wicked conduct. Instead, with a sensitive spirit. Oh, sensitive spirit. You ever been called sensitive? Just be like, it's my spirit. And the Lord loves it. We absorb God's word, which has been implanted within our nature, for the word of life has power to continually deliver us. We could just go home on that right now. The implanted word of God has power to continually deliver you. I know I sit sometimes and like, I just like, I need deliverance. I need to call somebody. And I don't know that I always realize that. The implanted word just sits there ready to come forth and deliver me. But that's not what I want to preach about. But it's, I just realized it while I was reading this. It's the first part of this verse. My dearest brothers and sisters, take this to heart. Be quick to listen, but slow to speak. And be slow to become angry, for human anger is never a legitimate tool to promote God's righteous purpose. Interesting. So, quick to listen, slow to speak. We live in a society today where we just love to speak whatever I want on Facebook and the Twitters and the Instagrammies, Instagrammas, you know what I'm saying? And what's that other one now? TikTok. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to become a creator on TikTok yet. I'm really still out. But like, we live in this culture where everybody can say whatever they want anytime they want. 2 a.m, like 2 a.m, the president can tweet from his own phone and be like, this is what I think about the world right now. And you can too. And you can reply to the president and be like, well, Mr. President, like, what a world we live in. This is never like, and yet the Bible calls me to something quite countercultural here. It's like, don't do that too quickly. Maybe there's a time for it. But honestly, be slow to speak and quick to listen. Huh. That's neat. I'll apologize for my voice. I have a bit of a cold, and so you're going to get this gravelly thing all night. So enjoy it while it lasts. Quick to listen, slow to speak. Let me give you some background on James real fast. This is the book of James. James was the apostolic father for the church in Jerusalem. There was churches that went out all from, but Jerusalem was the epicenter for the early church shortly following the death of Jesus. And then, well, the death, resurrection of Jesus. He didn't stay in the grave. Holla. And Jerusalem was like the epicenter. And if you read Acts, Paul actually comes to a place. Paul, the great apostle, wrote most of the New Testament, right? Has an open-eyed vision with Jesus, get his theology directly from Jesus, has his commissioning experience, knows that he needs to preach this gospel to the ends of the earth. And yet Paul, at some point in his ministry, realizes like, I just really want to make sure that I'm not running my race in vain. So I think I'll just head on over to Jerusalem, check in with the spiritual fathers down there, and just make sure that this is a legitimate gospel that I'm preaching. And James is the head of that. P.S., he's also the little brother of Jesus. So that's cool. You know, he knows what he's talking about. That's what I'm saying. So he starts this letter. He says, my name is James. I'm writing this letter to the 12 tribes of Israel scattered among the nations who've been sown as seeds. See, I did memorize some of it. And the point, right, is that this is a letter that was copied many, many times over, sent out from him to the body of Christ all throughout the world to encourage them. And it's as applicable to you and your situation today as it was to them in their situations, because he didn't know the church's situation. It was just a blanket letter to everybody. And you are now a seed scattered throughout the earth and throughout time. Whew. And he's writing to you, beloved. And he tells you to be slow to speak, and it's just more important now than ever. So basically my talk tonight is about listening, believe it or not. And I'm a talker, so this will be fun. Let me define listening for you. Listening is not obeying. And that's where we miss it, is because I think that listening equals obeying. But it actually isn't, because the next verse after this one, he says, after you've listened, be sure to do it. That's the obedience part. So listening isn't obedience. Huh. But I was told my whole life that you need to listen. Listen to me. Like my coach said that, you know, like, your problem on this team is that you don't listen, meaning do what I say. Like, I heard him. I was like, no, I know what you want me to do. I'm not going to do that, though. Right? So listening is when I give my attention to the speaker in order to understand the meaning of what they're trying to say. Make sense? Okay, cool. So we understand listening. So I'm going to take you really deep into listening. I'm going to teach you how to hear things you didn't even know people were saying. So I'm going to do that with an illustration. The first thing you're going to have to understand in order to really hear somebody is a thing called the unconscious. I know, before you get up and leave, I'm not talking about pseudo-psychological, analytical, crazy, doctrinal. No, it's just simply put, right, is that we have a heart. And out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the spirit lives somewhere deep inside the heart of man, and it's also seated in Christ, and it's in the spiritual world. And we can't measure the spiritual world because we're within a physical world, but then somewhere the physical world touches the spiritual world, and we can measure the effects of the spiritual world on the physical world, and that all takes place somewhere within here and here, all this, right? So there's a part of you that is studyable. It's called your unconscious, and it talks about the heart of who you are. So I want to teach you about the unconscious. It's very simple. Can we have the lights, please? No, I'm unconscious on purpose. Can you hit those lights, baby? I'm so sorry. This is my beloved wife, everyone. It's not going to go totally black because we don't have light switches for everything, but we're going to get pretty dark. Yeah, perfect. So the you have a tremendous amount of data that your unconscious brain is sorting at any given time. For instance, how much pressure is on the back of your legs right now in your chair? You know when I ask you, but you had no idea before I asked you, right? Because what I asked you to do was give your attention to the back of your legs. Now, your unconscious mind knew about that all along, but you didn't need it because your attention wasn't on it, right? Your conscious mind is what you have the ability to give your attention to at any given time. And the unconscious part of your brain is doing the rest. Thank goodness I don't have to think about breathing while I'm up here. That would be a mess. So the room here would represent your unconscious mind. And this flashlight would probably be about how much that you can perceive at any given time. So you can look at something or something else or something else. Y'all see that, right? Like, it's not, even if I could expand it, it wouldn't be, I'm basically just kind of like doing this, right? This is how much that I'm aware of at any given time, as an example. Like, we couldn't measure it, right? Because I can't measure what I can't see, but like, that's an example. We can have the lights back on. Okay, so Jamie's been talking a lot about story and about how the greatest story ever written was the gospel, right? And the theme of the gospel is written all throughout history and in every people group. It says that, you know, the Hebrews had the law written on tablets of stone and on their hearts, but the Gentiles only had it written on the hearts. The gospel message is embedded within every single person. And also, It's in that deep place of your story that it's there. Paul walked into a town one time, Paul the Apostle walked into a town and was like, how am I going to connect with these people? And he finds a monument. This is people who had a ton of gods. He didn't know how to reach them. And he finds a monument, and they were just concerned that maybe they had forgotten about a god. And so they put on it, they were like, to the unknown god, the one we haven't discovered yet, here's your monument, so you're not angry with us. Paul goes in there, and he's like, aha, the unknown god. That's my god. So I'll tell you about this one, right? He finds that people's group's story and connects the gospel to it and finds an inroad. If you learn how to hear another person's story on a deep level, you'll find an inroad for the gospel. That's just a free nugget, right? So the principle of the unconscious is that out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You cannot not tell your story. It's always speaking. It's a bummer, sort of. But it's also a good thing. So I'm going to teach you tonight how to hear a story theme. So what is a theme? You might ask yourself. A theme is a repeated word, phrase, or idea. Have you ever been in a moment where you were at a party or a social gathering or you're just talking to a friend and you just told them a story and you didn't know why? That is your unconscious speaking. The reason you chose that story, of all the stories throughout your whole lifetime that you could have told, you told that story. And you emphasized those details in that story. Why? Because that is the theme of the issue in your life you're dealing with right now. It's called a data back then story. So it stems out like this. Once upon a time, right? Or it could be, I know someone who. Now, the reason that we hide the details of our personal struggle with either pain or it could be joy, but our really personal things, we hide them unconsciously within a metaphor and a story theme to gain some distance because it may not be too safe to share that with a person. Now, the closer of a friend I am with a person, the less abstract my story theme will be. But if I'm talking to a total stranger, I'm going to make it very abstract indeed. But I can't not talk about what's going on in my life because out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, beloved, when you're with a Christian, a fellow believer, on a Sunday morning, and they're just like, hey, what up, playa? And you're like, not too much, man. We're getting hizzy with you. And they're like, well, you know, like, da-da-da, my car, flat tire, all this stuff. They're not just being like, bah, 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 bah. They're actually sharing with you information on a deep level, but you have to have ears to hear. You have to care enough about the person. That's the first thing. You got to love them. You got to care enough about the person that you'll stop, you'll take a minute, and you'll listen in depth. And you'll listen for repeated words or phrases or repeated ideas within that. And you won't necessarily know what it is. You'll have to inquire. You'll have to ask a question. You'll have to say, I heard you say something about da-da-da. Are you dealing with that right now? And what you'll do is you'll take your little, they're talking away, and they're just dealing with a thing, and they think they're telling you like, oh, just how my week went, right? But it's actually a deeper subject issue. And what you'll do is you're like, I hear that there's more, and you'll actually pull their attention to the more, this other thing over here. And when you do that, you'll hold up a mirror to your fellow believer, and you'll get them to see like, is this something you're dealing with? And it may not be a painful story. It might be a joyful story. And they're like, yeah, it's all, and they'll like bust into laughter. They might bust into tears. They might just be like, here's the thing. If you don't have enough equity built with the person, they're going to be like, and just walk off. Or if you sit down with like a total stranger and you like really, really listen to their story, and then you're like, hey, I just need to ask you, are you dealing with a loss in your family? they're going to be like, ding, I need to be reseated. This person is crazy. You know, like, you have to feel it out. You have to be conscientious, as a good listener needs to be. You need to be conscientious. But those are the essential nuts and bolts of story theme listening. Now, I will give you a couple of examples. Shortly after, like, learning this information, I was really, like, honing in on these story themes. Now, kids are brilliant at this because they haven't created a lot of, like, ways to protect themselves, so their story themes are, like, kind of basic. And I was an ambulance driver at the time, and we were picking up a patient who was a child, and we were taking them, transferring them to another hospital. And we sit them in the stretcher, and then we wrap them in blankets, and we put seatbelts on them. That's what we do. It's kind of like a burrito fold. So this child says to me, after I wrap her up, she goes, "I'm a burrito." Now, right. But she just gave me a metaphor of how she's going to be talking about herself from here on out. I'm a burrito. I equals burrito. So then I say to her, "Oh, do you like burritos?" She says, "No, I hate them." Oh, okay. So I know that she does not feel too good about herself. That's what I know. And I was like, why do you hate burritos? Did you have a bad experience with a burrito? And she goes, "Yes, one attacked me." Now the story metaphor has changed, because they can do that. So it can be the same, but it's going to move. You really have to pay attention. And I said, "Oh, well, how do you feel about burritos now?" She's like, "I think they're disgusting." Now, that's really all I need to know. Here's a child who's had trauma with somebody, and she hates herself. But as a Christian, there's hope. Now I have everything I need of how this child needs to be poured into with the life of Jesus in the ministry of the gospel, right? And in, like, that one hour ride, you better believe that I was, like, praying all kinds of things, all spiritual warfare all over that kid. And my partner rode in the front, he rode in the front seat with the mom, and he collected the whole story from the mom. And it was true, she had been attacked by somebody and was causing all these mental health issues, and that was kind of her thing. And so, beloved, like, you have no idea the people around you who are just dying to tell you their story in the church, but also out of the church. And the reason I heard, there's a man who put together a lot of this material. His name was John Savage. He was a Methodist minister for a lot of years and then became a psychologist. But he was a profound listener even when he was just a clergyman. And one of the things that he would say is the reason we have need of so many counselors in our society is because we're a people who have forgotten how to listen to one another. If you need a counselor, that's wonderful. Like, do it. Don't, no shame in it. But I would love to see a body of Christ whose entire skill level has elevated to the point where somebody walks in and healing just starts to manifest in their spirit, soul, and body. Let me tell you another story. So here's how a metaphor works. A little girl is washing dishes with her mom. Her mom says to her, "Tell me a story." She says, "Okay, once upon a time, there was a little girl whose mom put her in the bath and the water burned her." The end. The mom's a pretty good listener, and she goes, "Sweetie, is the dishwasher too hot?" And she goes, "Yes, it's burning my hands." And it's literally like that simple, right? My beloved wife is a very skilled listener, and she was at a friend's house one time, family members that she had known, and the son was a very, very skilled gymnast, and he had won tons of competitions. He was a very skilled coach, and she noticed a pattern in all these stories he was telling from school. He started with the phrase, "I can't," or "this person's so great at it, but I can't," or "I could never," and da 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 da. And she just like, oh my God, every story starts with the phrase, "I can't." So after like the social times, whatever, over, she grabs him, she pulls him aside. She's like, "Hey," she'd known this guy since they were kids, so it was pretty appropriate. She says, "Hey, I noticed that you kept saying that I can't for all these things, and I think you're feeling pretty inadequate, and I just want to tell you and remind you of all these things that you've won." Am I doing the story justice? Yeah. "That you've won and you've done and you're achieved, and I think you're awesome." And he just broke down and started crying. That somebody noticed. In like, we do this evangelism stuff on the streets. And there's definitely like a spiritual element to this. I don't mean to like nominalize that, right? But if you can listen to another on a deep level, like you don't have to be as prophetic as you think you need to be. I was with a man. I was ministering on the streets of Salem for the Haunted Happenings, our big festival that we minister at each year. And it was the day before we were doing setup, and I walked into a man on the street, and he was knew that we did like signs and wonders, that we ministered in healings, and he came up to me. He's like, "Man, I'm having some back pain. Do you think that you could pray for me and heal my back pain?" I was like, "Heck yeah, Jesus' name, I'm so ready." So he could put my hand on his back, and I was like, "Power of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, be healed," and just nothing. And I was like, we go again. And I prayed again, "In Jesus' name, be healed." Nothing. And I was like, "God, what do I do?" And God says to me, "You know, if he hangs with you, you hang with him." So I just stood there, and I was like, "Okay, we'll just have a conversation." So we started talking. He begins to tell me a story about how it's just been really hard because financially he's just been a really hard place. And all these things are going on, and now he doesn't have insurance, he doesn't have money to deal with his back pain, and it's been really hard. And I realized that while he's telling me this, that my back sometimes hurts when I'm really stressed and when I'm dealing with money stuff. When I have money stress, my back hurts. And so I was like, "Hey man," can I pray for that money stuff, because it sounds like you've just been really stressed out about it." And he's just like, "Oh my gosh, thank you. Yes." So I put my hand on his shoulder or something, and I was like, "Just pray, Jesus, you know, you see stuff going on, finances, I just pray that you would heal that." And he was like, "Thanks." And, you know, he ran off and felt much better, and that was nice. And then later that day, he comes up to me, he's like, "Derek, my back pain is all gone." Sometimes the thing that God wants to deal with isn't the thing that he wants, you know, that you don't know. You don't know what's going on. So it's important to ask these questions. All right. Now this brings up another thing, because how I knew that guy was dealing with back pain, right, is because that's my story. And as he told his story, my story came up, right? So we have a thing in our brain called mirror neurons. Mirror neurons. Now, what these do is these create the experience inside of me as if I was doing something that I'm watching. So when I watch somebody ride a skateboard down a really steep hill and then just eat it so hard, I go, like that. That's what I do. Why do I do that? I'm not in that video. I can't feel that man's pain. Except I can, because by watching it, my brain creates the experience of that happening to me. And I'm like, "Oh, that would hurt so much." And I don't like it, right? When someone else tells you their story and you're listening on a deep level, your counter story pops to consciousness because of these mirror neurons. Now, this is a gift of God for you to be able to connect with another person and really tune in to what's going on with them. But so often what happens is that you actually end up telling your own story, which is a one-up story. You think one wisdom tooth hurts. This one time I had two wisdom teeth taken out. And that's how it happens. Now, there's another thing that gets in my way of my ability to really listen to the story of another, and that is squirrels. That is my own attention span. Your brain, if I put a recording in high dubbing, your brain can listen to about 250 words per minute, that would be nice. Per minute, your brain can listen 250 words per minute. That's like if I speed somebody up, like auctioneers can talk at about 185 words per minute, right? Your brain processes information at 780 words per minute. You have a tremendous amount of extra time, it's lag time, for you to sort through what they're telling you. And the problem is, you actually have so much time that you can check out. And while your attention is supposed to be on the person speaking to you, it just takes a little trip down the road, around the corner, and out the building, into the grocery store where they're selling that ham and cheese. I'm gonna get that right after this person's story is over. And then they're done, you're like, wow, man, that sounds crazy. And you just leave. Because your attention has already left the building. I was told, like, pay attention my whole life because I was a bit of a... I don't have ADD. What I have is attention priority difference. Just my priorities are different than yours. That's all. That's all. So, and one of the things, like, when I wanted to become a better student, they taught me was, like, you need to take your imagination and bring it into the room with you and sit it in the chair next to you, and you just need to pretend that your imagination's sitting in the room with you so that you can focus. So when it says pay attention, it's actually, like, give attention. Give your mind's ability to comprehend something to the person speaking to you. Think of it this way. It's a gift, and you can be generous with it. And you can generously give attention, huh? Isn't that nice? To the person who's speaking to you. So that's why we encounter story. So person speaking to you, they're telling you their story. Could be a story of grief. Could be a story of loss. Could be a joyful story. As a fun little side note, right? We protect stories of joy much more than we protect stories of pain. I'm more apt to tell you a story of pain than I am joy because I have more value in my joy stories than my pain stories. And if you're a good steward with somebody's story of pain and that you build trust with them over that, they will share with you their stories of joy. And Jesus tells us to mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. So it's an important piece of this. Loving one another, becoming one body, tuning into each other, and ultimately becoming an example of Jesus, because it says that they'll know we're of the Father by the way in which we love one another. Make sense? Okay. Okay. I'm doing pretty good on time. I'll close with this. So this is the last piece of it. So, counter story is a gift. Somebody's telling you a story and it evokes your own story within you. Do not share that story right away. Let that story, like, here's what you do. Remember it, understand the feeling that it brings to you, and then ask the person about that feeling. If they're telling you a story about a car crash and your story of a car crash pops to your mind, right? Remember how scared you were. And how upsetting it was, and how you just shook with adrenaline after. And then ask them about that. Were you scared? Well, I wasn't so much scared as I was just kind of upset. And that's gonna happen, right? If you check in about something, because you really don't know, like you can make a really good guess about the metaphor somebody's using, but you really don't know until you ask. So it's important to always say it. I heard you say, not you said, because that's making a statement about them, but you want to make that, like, you want to be an attentive listener. So you say, I heard you say, or I hear this, and can I ask about that, right? And if you ask about that feeling, they're going to go like this. They're going to go, like, oh my gosh, you get it, yeah. Or somebody's telling you about loss, a lost family member or something like that. Just be like, yeah, we went through that in my family like a long time ago, and I just felt like so alone. You know, has it been that way for you at all? Oh my gosh, yeah, you get it. And then they're going to unpack more story, and there'll be more opportunity for listening. Now, the deal with counter story, it's a huge gift. It's also a hard obstacle because I'm only able to listen to another person's story of pain, sorrow, grief, anything uncomfortable like that, to the degree that I've reconciled with my own story of grief, pain, hurt, and loss. And if I haven't dealt with that, then I will try to avoid the feeling that's coming up. And it'll look like talk about something else. How about the Yankees? You been ice fishing this week? You will change the subject and you will do it so fast. Not a big heavy if you do, because you can always, like, sometimes I like sit in bed at night and I'm like, how did I do today? And I sort through it. And I'm like, oh, I missed it here and I missed it there. And I'm like, if I could do it differently, I'll do it this way. And I think about that, because the next day I'll come back, and as a good listener, I'll be like, hey, you were talking and I totally missed this, but tell me again about that. People love it when you come back to them and you're like, hey, that story, I was like, my attention was on something else at the time, but it sounded important and I really wanted to hear about it. It's a great way to build equity with people. So it's not a big heavy if you miss it. But listening is good for you, because these stories that are going to come up in the form of counter story within yourself, you're going to have to deal with. I have had to deal with more of my stuff while having to sit and listen to somebody else in a pastoring moment. It's as though that person that the Lord has brought into your path has become your therapist, and you were there to listen to their story. It's a beautiful thing, the way God has created the body to work together. So pay attention when you're like, this story is so uncomfortable, I just want to get out of here. Maybe it is an uncomfortable story, maybe it's inappropriate for them to be telling you. That's fine to leave. Like, if you're a young girl and some creepy person's telling you a weird story, feel free to leave. But Jesus was never afraid to enter deep places of sorrow. That's what the Garden of Gethsemane is all about. Is he goes into this place with his friends and he has them wait, and he's like, wait, for, you know, pray that the Lord will strengthen you through testing. Then he goes away and he prays, Father, if there's any way that I could get out of this situation, like that I didn't have to take this cup of sorrow, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. What he's doing in that moment is he's reconciling his place of sorrow and pain in his own story. And he's letting the Father write the story. And he's saying, like, I would have done it a different way. Probably most of the parts of your story, you would have done a different way. But bringing it to the Father, not avoiding it anymore, bringing it to the Father and saying, hey, what do you say about this? That place of pain is the doorway to the cross. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. And beyond the cross, it's resurrection. It's resurrection life. And the same three men that he chose to go with him in the Garden of Gethsemane, he then takes to the Mount of Transfiguration, where the Father glorifies him. And that's just my talk tonight, is to give you some little tools in your doctor bag to minister one to another. I could do a week of in-depth listening skills. My wife has spared you from me getting too boring with the details. And I just hope to inspire you to listen to the richness and the life and the hope and the joy and the pain within our body. And people's stories of confusion and anxiety and stories of transformation and stories of transition. Transition stories are really hard. But hearing that, when I tell somebody my story and it has a place to land, then there's bonding that happens. And suddenly I'm not alone. And if we want to be a congregation, like I know not all of you come to this church, it's the Well, right? But you can take this back to your congregation. Like if believers in the state of Maine could just be a place where like we're going to tune into one another and we're going to connect for the ministry of Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay. That's my talk. I'll pray for you guys. And then Jamie will share. Jesus, God, I love this family so much. I pray that you bless them. You give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is doing. And I pray that you would make us attuned to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come on, let's thank Derek. I just want to say this about what he shared tonight, because in James 1:19, what she read of, it says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, because the wrath of God does not produce righteousness in man, right? One of the things that we do is in a church environment, we create classes and programs to produce the Christian lifestyle, correct? You need deliverance, go through the deliverance class. If you need counseling, see a pastor, set up an appointment. If you need this, we have a book club. Studying the Bible, don't do that alone. Do it with a group, right? And evangelism, oh, that's my favorite. Don't do it alone. Do it within this hour, at this time, with this group of people, right? We create classes and programs of everything. We've created a very programmed Christian lifestyle, and to the point where we've actually programmed discipleship, which is good. There's wisdom in programming discipleship and all these different things. It is good to have places to plug in and to control the flow of their Christian lifestyle in operating through our lives. But the reality is that there's just nothing in Scripture about programming discipleship and the Christian lifestyle. It was meant to be an overflow of our life and revelation. Our time in the Word was to create and produce a Christian lifestyle. And actually, the house in which discipleship is supposed to happen is in our interactions. There should be a psalm, a song, a prayer, a hymn, a word of revelation and knowledge being shared in every interaction, that actually the church should be discipling the church. And that in our living rooms and breaking bread, we should be giving thanks and discipling each other, and our conversations should be bearing fruit in life, and my revelation and insight and breakthrough should actually then be imparted into your life through our conversation. This should be the church. We've programmed everything. We've sterilized it, right? What I want to present to us, and what Derek is actually presenting, is be slow to speak, but quick to listen, and quick to and be slow to wrath, because wrath doesn't produce righteousness. What Derek is presenting to us is this: listening skills will actually reintroduce discipleship in our interactions. Actually entering into interactions with each other, actually entering into stories, actually learning to listen, and realizing that this conversation could actually be a fruit-bearing moment in between the two of us right now. There is actually, God could be doing something profound in this interaction, this moment of vulnerability and transparency. This could be a moment that if I have ears to hear and I am listening to you, a word of wisdom could be dropped to my heart that disciples you. Does that make sense? And, you know, we're really quick at like, get in, get out. Hi, brother, how you doing? If you say anything other than good, I'm moving on. Right? Like, how was your week? Fantastic. That's what I want to hear. Moving on, right? And we're like in and out, and then we feel really good because we think everybody's doing great, unless we're watching you on social media. We know that's not true, right? There's all these things, and it's really important that we're actually like having the patience, being slow to listen or quick to listen, and having ears to hear this, like bringing us into what could be fruit-bearing relational moments. I think God wants to bring fruit back to our relationships, our interactions. Bring life and Holy Spirit-led interactions. Some genuine connection, not just transparency, but vulnerability that you are letting me see in, and you're allowing me now to speak into your life because you've allowed me to see, and I've actually taken the time to care about what's going on inside of you to interact with that. You get what I'm saying? And so I want to encourage you guys tonight to meditate on this idea of becoming a student of listening and incorporating listening skills and taking genuine care, concern, and time in every interaction, beginning to look for body language as if you go like, man, there's something to that, what that person just did right there. I'm gonna actually take time this interaction and feel it out to see if I can actually enter more into your story right now and dig a little deeper and not be afraid and run away from your mess. And because there could be a real discipleship moment that could not happen any other way than this moment that God created for us right here.